Hey guys, welcome back to No Quitters Podcast, where we hope to inspire you guys with the stories that we have right here from people that have been through some difficult times and they overcame all that. And now they're here, leaders in the community. I'm your host, Dan Ray. And today we're going to be interviewing Floyd, who's a personal trainer I met, right? But he's been through a lot of stuff that, you know, I've been through myself, but he never quit and started his own business. And now he's out here doing his thing, right? Floyd, welcome.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
It's one of those things, obviously, we talked a little bit before we got, you know, on camera and stuff. It's like your story is what shapes who you are and how you view the world and, you know, what type of approach you have with your business and everything, your relationships, your finances, everything based on the things you've been through and overcome and stuff. And, you know, obviously, you know, a little bit of my story growing up in LA and being raised by a single mother and, you know, kind of getting into trouble as a young kid and stuff and running into the law and being locked up.
You know, one of the things that inspires me about this interview here is that we had a lot of similarities together. You know, I grew up in a rough neighborhood like you, and I did a lot of the stuff, right? And we both went in for, you know, we both did some prison time, and ironically it was in the same place.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. So absolutely, man. Well, let's dive right into it, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how Floyd became Floyd, right? Let's take this back to your childhood, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, what was it like growing up as you?
Well, obviously, like I said, being raised by a single mother, that's kind of where I got into, you know, the gangs and just the drug dealing and all that kind of stuff, because basically we didn't have, you know, no male figure around. There was no one showing us how to live, what to do, things like that. You know, we basically learned from the people we seen outside in the streets. You know, the people we looked up to. Those were the people that we thought, you know, we wanted to be like and stuff. We seen them driving around in nice cars and jewelry, all that kind of stuff like that, you know, and fell into that, you know, got into gangs at a young age. And
got you. You emphasize single mother, right? And to me, my mom was single, right? But my mom is like the gold standard of moms, because, you know, she worked three jobs and she's a hardworking mom, right? When you say single mother, because we're not out there trying to throw shade on single moms, because we don't know what they're going through.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what about that affected you?
Well, honestly, it just, like I said, you know, me seeing her struggle, seeing how hard, you know, just life was on her. She had six kids, you know.
So got you.
Me seeing her try to make ends meet, seeing her how to.
Where do you stand as far as like your oldest?
That's what went into my hard work. And
got it.
That kind of, you know, me seeing her never give up, me seeing her just pushing through the days that we as kids, we watch. We probably don't comprehend like as much as, you know, we would like to down during those times, but we're paying attention, and you see your mom get up every day, show up, you know, even during the hard times, it played a role in me thinking to myself that one day I would never quit. I would never give up on myself as well. You know, like,
got you.
Mom never gave up on her children. And
are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest boy. I have one older sister, but I'm the second oldest of six. So
got it. So you grew up and you saw her going through some stuff, and that kind of pushed you away initially.
Yeah. And it got me just wanting a better life, as
gotcha.
You know, just seeing our struggle, seeing just, we were bouncing from house to house, and, you know, there was times we were kind of staying with family members, pretty much homeless and stuff, you know. So
how old were you?
35 now.
But how old were you when you?
Like when we were moving around most of my childhood, we didn't stay in places more than a year. It was like a year move, 6 months move. It was, you know, we were bouncing around quite a bit until we.
So 5, 6.
Yeah. Until 5, 6 years old, until we finally moved into like some low income housing in Watts. And we stayed there for quite some time before we moved out of there as well. And yeah, that's where, like I said, that's where I kind of met a lot of my childhood friends and stuff. That's where a lot of the gang stuff started. And
And it's Watts, man. So
yeah, you know, it was and this is the worst times of Watts too. You know, everybody knows about Compton and stuff, but Compton's right, Watts is right next to Compton, and Watts was worse. You know, it's like it was just always violence, people dying, you know, just like crazy down.
It was there. Active.
Really active.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, that obviously, like I said, you know, I was actually locked up 7 times before the age of 19.
Jesus Christ. How old were you the first time you got?
14.
14?
Yeah. And then when I was 19, that was the last and final time. I went to prison for 3 years, which, like you said, you know, that's when the things started to change for me a little bit. I had never read a book or finished a book in my life. I finished my first book in prison. The first book I ever read was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Oh, nice. That's a good one to start with.
You know, and then like I kind of found this like passion for reading and learning and kind of expanding my mind and growing. So believe it or not, you know, I'm a trainer now, but I started learning while I was in prison. I was like, I subscribed to like fitness magazine, like fitness books. I was reading them from like cover to cover, just trying to basically teach myself, learn as much as I can. And I started working out. I actually didn't work out until prison and stuff. I was doing like, you know, the push-ups and the pull-ups. Yeah. And
isn't that ironic, man? You kind of have to lose yourself to find yourself, right?
100%.
I always talk about it. In prison, I felt the most free I've ever felt, right? Yep. I've been doing whatever I wanted since I was 11. I've been living with myself, but I never had that freedom taken away from me, right? And so for me, it wasn't just about physically being out here, right? Because there's still a lot of people that are out here they're free, but they're really locked up in their mind. You know, I mean, they're prisoners to their emotions, and they just react to a lot of things. You know what I mean? So it's not just, I understood freedom in prison, ironically.
It's crazy because people think I'm crazy when I say it, but prison was actually the best thing that happened to me.
Same thing.
It was the one thing that sat me down from just everything, and I was able to kind of think about life, you know, a little bit, really like where I was heading, what did I want, you know, where I want to go from here, you know, basically, because that's pretty much rock bottom, right? You know?
Yeah. I mean, some people go back and back and back, you know, but I'm glad you didn't choose that path, but you were locked up 7 times, probably juvie county.
A bunch of juvies in county, yeah. And then, like I said, prison was pretty much, that was it. And I was like, because you know how it is. Like in there, the guards, they treat you pretty much like next to nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I remember a real turning point for me was one time, you know, they do the random searches, right? They do once a month, they do a random search. They're searching for like drugs or, you know, shanks, whatever, stuff like that, cell phones. And they did a random search and they just threw all my stuff, like my personal stuff on the ground, like my pictures and my CD player, everything. And you know, just kind of stepped all on it. You saw footprints and just didn't care. And I remember feeling like so low, like that, just like that.
Right. Like they're assholes, man.
They don't care.
They're assholes.
Like, and that was like literally the turning point where I was like, I'm never, ever going to put myself in a position to be treated like this again.
Right. Like and I think they just try to break you down. As a person, as a whole, you're not attached to shit because randomly you could lose everything. Mm-hmm. Right. Just if they don't like you, they'll go out there and just fuck with you just to get you off your shit or to get your car to go against you. You know what I mean? I remember they used to come and search as well, and then they'll dump all your shit in one. They basically dumped everybody's shit on one pile.
Yeah, that's how they would do it. Right. And then you have to sort it out.
This is mine, this is mine, and everything's broken, and everything's mixed, and people are coming up on some other shit, and it's just shit. You're in there with a whole bunch of criminals, so they just want to start some shit.
Now everybody's like mad at each other, and they knew how to stir it up with that kind of stuff too. But yeah, that's where I started like my journey of kind of like figuring out what I wanted to do. Like I said, I would always surround myself with like some of the older guys in there, and they would always kind of like pour into me a little bit. They'd be like, look, youngster, you're still young. You still got time. Like, you know, don't be like me. I've been here 5, 6, 7, 8 times like you.
Yeah.
You know, you could still, you know, go out and do something with your life and stuff like that. And like I said, I just started reading and started trying to figure out, okay, when I get out, what's next, you know?
Got it.
I don't want to come back here, you know?
Got it. So in your childhood, you went into jail like 7 times, right? Does any of that, like, did any of that affect you as a person? I mean, you're going through a lot of shit. You're hanging around the wrong crowds. Mm-hmm. Everybody's telling you to do this. Plus, you're doing it to look good and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of times when me going in saved my life in a way, because we were always in the streets, always running the streets, you know, running around carrying guns, just doing bad stuff. And every time I was locked up, someone would die or something, or like something would happen to where I was like, dang, I would have been with that person, or I would have been right there, or, you know what I mean? So a lot of times, like, me getting off of the streets, you know, was
a great time.
What I needed.
Yes, exactly what you needed.
Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, you know, like, I started reading the Bible and stuff, you know, when I originally got locked up, and that's where I started to kind of like pray, and that stayed with me. So anytime I would get out, even when I never went to church or anything, I would just pray, you know. I would always like
more of a relationship.
Like someone was watching over me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that someone is watching, because I mean, every time you went in, someone would die. That could have been you.
Exactly. So, you know, and there's been times where even when I was out, you know, shootings would happen and stuff, and you know, I would be fortunate to not be one of the ones that was hit or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt like I was being watched over.
So as a youngster, did any of that really affect you as a person, or?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, like, everything obviously affects us, everything, you mm-hmm. know, like, but there's people who let things affect them in a negative way, where it kind of, they use that as an excuse their whole life. It holds them back. It stops them from doing anything. They're like, well, this is just what it is. Like, I actually have siblings that are that way. Or there's people that take those things and think like, you know, but it's not it. This is not the end of the story. You know, this is just a chapter. Mm-hmm. Like, there's more. I can do better. I can, you know, I don't have to quit here. I don't have to like, you know, accept this. I can try to make something out of my life from here, from this moment forward, you know?
Right. Part of like character building activities.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Did you fall into drugs or anything while you were...
Not really, just weed, obviously, you know. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, I sold weed and stuff, so you know, it was just like it just mainly was just hanging around people that were out doing, you know,
bad things.
That was the main thing, you know. And wherever we went, trouble found us.
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Have in your life, have you had any mentors or anyone that you looked up to?
Yeah, like I said, when I went to prison, I met this guy. Like, he was one of the ones that started to kind of I would hang out with him, and we would kind of talk about life and stuff. And he was in his 50s at the time. I was only like 20, you know. So wow. He'd tell me about the stories and stuff, and about different things that he's been through. And he would even get out for 7 years, get his life together a little bit, do things, get a job, buy stuff, you know, like, you know, home, cars and stuff, and still end up going back, you know. And like,
damn,
you know, so I would, you know, he would share a lot of like those kind of stories with me. And like I said, in your mind, you're thinking, all right, I don't want this to happen to me, you know. Like, I feel like one of the like luxuries of life, if not only learning from your own mistakes, but also learning from other people's
mistakes. That's like a shortcut right there.
Yeah, if 100%, like, if you can hear someone else's mistakes and learn from that, mm-hmm. like, you can go far, and you don't have to experience what they experienced. Like, and that was one of those things that I always kind of did, where people that I was around, like, whenever I've seen them go through something, or I've seen them make certain mistakes, I'm like, okay, you know, I had to learn from that too, not just from my own mistakes. You know?
Absolutely. Cause you could relate with no ego.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good, man. So besides that guy, was there anybody else that was pushing?
Yeah. And then once I got out of, there, you know, one of my other mentors was Josh Kaplan. He's the first guy that I worked for as a trainer. He taught me a lot about just business. He was the one that really poured into me with like sales and marketing and overcoming objections and just trying to, you know, learn how to run a business and manage people, all that kind of stuff. He definitely put a lot of those tools in me working for him. So it was like one of the best like times of learning and growing when I was younger, just starting out in the industry and stuff. And then,
so when you got out, you went straight into fitness?
No, I actually was working in like the restaurants and stuff, because those are like the easiest jobs to get. Mm-hmm. I was working in restaurants and stuff, but I was going to school to be a trainer.
Got it.
I wanted to get certified and stuff like that, just so I could be legit and stuff. And then my mentor till today is Ryan. He's he does basically what I does, but just on like a huge, like he trains, coaches people from around the world. He has a huge, huge facility, gym and stuff, and coaches a lot of athletes and competitors and basically everything that I does, but he's been doing it probably like 20 more years. So
got it. So he scaled it.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice. You know, one of the things that people don't understand, right? When you were in there and you kind of found yourself, right? You wanted to go back into society and with a plan, yeah. Right? Understand, like live life, but now with a plan, right? Because before I went in, I didn't have a plan either. I was just working, 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 working. That was my plan, working, no life,
yeah.
Right? How was it for you when you got out?
Well, fortunately, like, you know, because I had a plan, like I got a job 19 days after getting out. And I remember like, I knew I needed to like start to hustle, you know? So I got a job, then I got a second job and I was in school. I literally was just trying to figure out how to get, you know, advance myself. And I feel like I had lost time, obviously. So I was trying to figure out what I needed to do. I went probably like a couple years where no one even know where I was at, what I was doing or whatever, because I was so busy, school, work, you know. I would take every shift that was available and stuff.
Just building up.
Building up. I was saving money. I remember one of the jobs were paying me weekly. Because I had two jobs, I was putting that check completely away every single week, just, you know, and stuff. Because I was trying to obviously move out. You know, I was staying at my mom's house at the time. And, you know, and that's when I started to work out here in Orange County. And then eventually, like, driving 60 miles, 30 miles here, 30 miles back every day was...
On that traffic, for sure.
Yeah, so I ended up moving out here. And moving to Orange County was actually one of the best decisions I've made once I got out, because I became surrounded now by people that were doing more. It was my first time being around people that were owning businesses, people that were buying cars off the lot. At the time, I had never, you know, bought a car before, things like that. People that talked about credit and all that kind of stuff, you know. And where I was from, people didn't talk about those things. People didn't, you know, pursue those things. So it wasn't something that I would learn, you know. But when I moved out here, that's when, you know, my surroundings changed. And I can see the impact that had on my life.
Absolutely. I mean, you're used to growing up in the hood. And then all of a sudden, there's nobody like that anymore that influences you. And so, yeah, I mean, out here, that made a difference. Knowing how you grew up, right? You grew up with people that were rough and they were out there pushing gangs or whatnot, right? And how that affected you, like, psychologically, right? Is there anything holding you back that you went through?
I mean, no. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to, like, talk to people about, you know, like, some of the things that I've been through and seen and stuff. And I feel like that's huge. I feel like everyone should, you know, whether it's therapy or, like, you know, like mentors that, you know, have gone through certain things that you've been through and overcome it and stuff like that. Like, I worked through a lot of those things. I'm sure like 10 years ago, it would be a different answer, you know, but I've been able to just work on all the psychological stuff, all the things that it may have holding on to, or, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Got you. So you've been working through a lot of those things.
Yeah. And it's a never ending like battle of continuing, because, you know, a lot of our childhood, everything that we've been through, everything we've seen, all that, it all shapes how we are and who we are, how we deal with people, all that stuff. So, and you learn about yourself when you're dealing with different kind of people and stuff like that. So it's a journey that you're always going to continue to kind of be on, and you learn as you go. And when you find something that you need to work on, or that you may need to, or you're holding on to, that you know it's affecting an area of your life, you become motivated of fixing that. You don't want it to stop you from getting closer to someone or from getting to the next level.
You know what? That's very important that you mentioned that, because a lot of men, what we do when we go through shit is we just isolate, right?
Put it in.
We hold it.
We share it. We don't talk about it.
Right?
We just suppress it. Yeah.
And it's detrimental to our state of mind, because we're not really letting anything out, right?
It's just inside.
You just take it in, and you just take it in and don't even mention it, you know? Yeah. And that's why suicide amongst men is much bigger, because we just keep everything in until we just want to call it quits.
Yep.
Right?
And then, I mean, obviously you factor in all the things you got to try to keep up with. It's like, you know,
life
and business, or, you know, whatever you're doing, you're just growing financially, buying things, you know, homes, and like your family eventually. And, you know, most men, if you're obviously a real masculine man, you're take on the role of providing and protecting. And, you know, it's a lot, you know, and then keeping up with all the other things, you know, that's probably not as important, social life, all that kind of stuff like that. So,
I mean, it is important, but a lot of us just focus on the wrong things, yeah. You know what I mean? And it's good that you say a lot of this, because most people don't want to open up, right? But it seems like you've been pretty much an open book, and you kind of address yourself and refer back to yourself. What am I doing wrong? What is it that I could improve, right?
I think it helps, man. When you keep it all in, you could end up not thinking that there's nothing to be fixed, or, you know, that you don't need to work on anything. And that's a bad place to be, where you just feel like you got it all figured out and no one can tell you anything. Or,
and everything, you know, is, the world's messed up because it's messed up.
Exactly. You blame everything else, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know you've been through a lot of shit, you know? And so, is there been a time where you went through your childhood, you got out, and then you've been back, right? Because I know you're running the gym right now, right? That you said, you know what? I just want to call this quits.
Well, I think, obviously, you know, getting into business, I had no idea what I was getting into. You know, everybody...
It comes with a lot of hats. It
comes with a lot of hats. And, you know, at the time, running a business was the cool thing, you know. But no one really actually realized what it takes to build a business from the ground up.
Yeah, know? It sounds cool.
It sounds cool. With, like, not a franchise, not something that already has a household name, already has marketing, already has, you know, all that stuff. You're building something.
From scratch.
From scratch.
Right.
You know, and that's a lot more harder than... like just going to go buy a already existing business,
a franchise or something. Here, just follow these policies, these procedures. This recipe.
I'm already before familiar with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously it came with a lot of ups and downs. You know, I didn't come in with a large budget of, you know, for marketing or for a certain amount of employees or anything that I needed, you know, resources and stuff. So.
You don't even know anything about marketing.
Don't know anything about
it. You start a business, you're like, wait, what the hell is marketing? Yeah. I got to market this.
You don't know how important it is. Like,
right.
It's probably the most important part, you know, besides obviously the product that you offer, the service that you offer, but marketing it, you know, right? And reaching the right people, not trying to reach everyone and stuff like that. You know, so yeah, I mean, first 2 years, I didn't make a dime.
Wow.
You know, I was losing, you know, I was like basically going back.
When did you start this gym?
2018, May 1st.
You remember the exact date? Wow.
Yeah. And because I remember I used all my own money, and first couple years, I didn't.
2 years.
You know what's crazy is when I first started to kind of turn it over was like December 2019, January 2020, and then COVID happened.
Oh, shit.
So it's like
before we get into that part where you started making it, right? You're a man of faith. I'm a man of faith as well, right? But running a business, right? And a lot of people don't understand this shit. Running a business, basically all on faith.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't have anything else. You're just running this shit on just faith, right? And without getting a dime for 2 years, what kept you going?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint one thing, but, you know, it's like, I'm not a quitter, Nick. You know, like I'm the type of person that I'm like, fuck, I gotta make this shit happen. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta show up. I'm not gonna fail. Like, I just have a not fail type of mentality.
Blind faith.
You know, and obviously you couple that in with faith, you know, and just prayer, all that stuff like that. But like, I just like, even like, there'll be times, bro, where I didn't know how I was gonna come up with the rent or how I was gonna come up with
payroll,
needed to buy and stuff, payroll, all that stuff like that. But you're just like, you show up, you know, and you keep showing up, and you
things fall into place.
It's odd how it works, man. But you know, you're
being tested, huh?
You're tested. Sometimes it could be the last second and something comes through,
right? Like I gotta pay them in an hour and I don't have shit, and then something happens.
It's crazy,
right?
And it's just, I think it's the persistence of, like, I'm going to figure it out, not giving up, you know, and even if there's a bad month or, you know, something, like it somehow works itself out eventually.
Right. Like that's one of the things about an entrepreneur, right? I mean, you're a creator, you created something from scratch, you created a business and it does good. And I've seen a lot of transformations that you do in your clients, with your clients, right? And I'm sure you enjoy a lot of the transformation and seeing them just come from one place to another one and achieve their goals, right? I was one of your clients. Then I was happy with the results that I was getting there, right? But your staff probably doesn't know it. Like, shit, hey, it's been 2 years. Yeah, I'm about to pay them. Well, what's going on? They don't even know anything that you're going through.
They have no idea. Like, you're basically just, you know, the only one that's like knowing what's really going on.
Right.
Because you don't want to panic. You don't want people to start, you know, making decisions but prematurely and stuff like that. So you're like, you know, you just up every day. You act like everything's fine, even when it's not. And then eventually it will be, you know.
Right.
I always think of like the hard times as like storms, you know, like no matter what storms come and go. Like, you're going to have rain, you're going to have clouds, and, you know, it's going to be terrible shit weather. Right. And then eventually the sun comes back around.
You know? Right. I don't think about it as like I try to act like a certain person. You know, I think about it like you got to go through this shit. You know, you got to go through the storm. You got to go through the rainy days. You got to go through all the seasons. You got to manage all the seasons, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. And you got to face shit face on, right? Not avoid it, not go through it. And it's an experience that only really entrepreneurs get to have, right? I mean, I'm sure people, there's people out there and they're self-employed. That's kind of a form of a entrepreneurship, right? You depend on yourself and it's an accelerating, and it's a challenge, and it's like, shit, I did this by myself. But at the end of the day, it's character building activities that help you build that confidence in yourself.
Yeah. And we all start somewhere. Like, even the self-employed people eventually want to own something, or, you know, have employees or a bigger business and stuff. So, but yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Got you. So let's bring it back. You did no money for 2 years. Right.
Yeah, didn't really make any money. Like I said, you know, I was basically pouring my own money, just bleeding my bank account, you know, like each month and stuff. And I guess there's times where you didn't think it would ever turn over and stuff. And finally,
what made you? Okay, so here we go. We start a business. A month, you don't make any money. You're like, fuck it. Motivation is high as hell. You know what I mean? 2 months, you don't make any money. You know what I mean? Yeah. What were you saying to yourself, man? Because it's a lot more than what you're saying, right? It's like, oh shit, I didn't do money for 2 years. But hey, here comes the first month, I didn't do money. Motivation's high. Mm-hmm. Second month, probably motivation's still high. Third month, you don't make any money.
I think that's where like reading the books and talking to other business owners came into play, because, you know, obviously in the books and stuff, they've all went through these phases. They've all had those times, you know, where things weren't, you know, turned over yet, you know, and that, you know, so I knew that I had to keep going, you know,
especially that book you mentioned, right?
And Grow Rich is but yeah, a lot of the people that I knew that did have businesses, talking to them and, you know, reading the books and stuff, like I said, and listening to some of the, you know, entrepreneurs that I listened to and stuff, they all shared about how the times where they, you know, weren't making money, or like, they were struggling, or like it was hard to get off the ground and all the little things. And so I knew that things had to turn around. I just didn't know how long it would take. Everyone's different. Everyone's time frame's different. Right. For us, it took 2 years, you know.
Yeah,
for
some of these but 2 years is, you know what I mean? It's like months. What? Like 700 and something days, you know what I mean? It's like 100 and something weeks, you know? It's 24 months, man, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you don't make any money. Shit, first month, second month, third month, fourth month, 6 months, 180 days, I haven't made any money.
Yeah.
A year comes around, right? And you still don't make any money. Having that faith in yourself, in your product, is really what set you apart. But I want to know the nitty gritty of those things. Like, what's going through your mind? You know what I mean?
Like, just keep going.
Just, you got to keep going.
Determination. I was determined to see things turn over.
Got you.
You know? It literally was just like the no quitters mentality. Like, I was determined to see things turn over. I think one of the things that most entrepreneurs have that's kind of underrated is optimism. You know, there was like always a level of optimism in my head, even during the crazy and worst of times. I was thinking like, I'm gonna turn this over. Like, I'm gonna turn this.
I got this shit.
It's just gonna, it's gonna happen, man. You know, like, and I think
it's happening. It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. You know, and I think that kind of like determination and
to a lot of people might look, they might look at it like, damn, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've been doing this for 2 years and shit hasn't happened. Quit. You know what I mean? Did you have any of those people telling you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, when you go tell people that are not business owners that like, man, we're not making any money and all these kind of things, you know, they're like, man, just sell it or just quit. You know, like they're like basically the ones that will kind of tell you things that, you know, like, no, that's not the route I want to take. You know, I got to keep going, like, you know, but that's why you got to be careful who you talk to about the certain struggles, because you get the wrong people saying, you know, like, oh, just give up or just do this. You know, like, you're like, no.
Yeah. To you, how important is your inner circle?
I think it's the most important thing. I think more so than quantity, the amount of people you have, I think having the right people, right quality, right amount of people that can push the right buttons when you need. I think it's the most important thing in life in general. Like, what, not even just with business, with your relationships, your finances, everything, bro. Like, it, you know, when you're struggling financially, you need someone that could tell you, oh, you know, this will help or this or that. Mm-hmm. When you're struggling in your relationships or your marriage, you need some people that have, you know, can kind of give you some advice on things, you know, same thing with your business, you know, like, I think having the right inner circle is huge.
Right. Because a lot of people just don't really think about things like that. They just want to have a whole bunch of friends and it's a whole bunch of the wrong friends. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, right now my circle keeps on getting smaller and smaller, and the people that are in it, I would have never thought they were going to be in it, because we partied and we did a whole bunch of shit before, mm-hmm. but now everybody's kind of gone through that, all right? That
phase, yep.
They've gone through that phase. Now they're in a different mindset and they're all trying to just eat better, feel better,
yep.
You know what I mean? Be healthy, you know, make money, yep. You grow, right? In every aspect. So it's easy to say, hey, you know what? You hang around with five idiots, you're going to be the sixth one. Right. But people, it's deeper than that. Right. Because you can hang around with a whole bunch of average people and the outcome would be you become average. Right. Uh-huh. But if you hang around, like if you're with people that continue to push you forward and continue to grow and continue to want to succeed, it will definitely, like you said, set you apart and keep you rising.
Your life for sure. It can only impact your life, you know, and either you're hanging around wrong people and it impact your life in a negative way, or hanging around people that serve, you know, a purpose in your life in a positive way, and it impacts you that way.
Got you. So here comes 2020. You finally start making some money.
Yeah, which, you know, most people during, it was opposite. People closed their businesses. People didn't know what they were going to do. People were living in like the worst times during COVID. We actually, COVID was the best year of life for my business at that point, you know, because we had made the most money we ever made. We stayed open, obviously. We couldn't have closed. Like, they were still asking for their rent every first of the month.
They didn't really care, huh?
You know, they were trying to do like they were doing like where you can kind of just push it back and stuff, but you still had to pay that money.
Right.
And I wasn't a fan of putting myself in about 6 months of, you know, $5,000 a month debt, you know, like it wasn't what I was trying to do. So we stayed open.
There was a lot of businesses that also got some PPP or whatever, PPP money or whatever, right?
We didn't get anything, bro. We didn't get any PPP. We didn't get any, because we didn't have employees at the time.
Mm.
So we didn't qualify for nothing, you know? So like I said, we had to stay open. And
here you are, right? This is another scenario, right? I don't want you to downplay it because it's an impact, right? You got the whole world saying 6 feet. Just stay 6 feet apart. You got to close your business. You can't communicate with other ones. They're trying to segregate you, right? Mm-hmm. At that point, what's going through your mind?
Well, that's what actually separated us. And we found there's different kind of people in the world. We found the people that was looking for a place like us where it felt normal. We weren't telling people to wear a mask. We weren't telling people to stay 6 feet apart. Don't talk to each other. Don't touch each other. You know, things like that. people were looking for a place like that.
Right, right. So that's what they were getting. But what's going through your mind as a business owner? Like, shit, I haven't made money for 2 years and now I get slapped with this?
It was like, I can't fail. You know, it was just that.
This is another bump in the road.
It's another bump in the road. Got to figure it out. I remember, I literally remember March 11th was when everything shut down. And I took a few days because it was like nice to have a couple of days off. And by like March 15th, I was thinking to myself, I have to figure something out. Like, you know, I still have a rent to pay for my house, my gym.
Right. Am I going to drink this Kool-Aid or am I just going to continue doing what I'm doing?
Exactly. And, you know, when I always tell people, when you sit in a dark room or in a quiet place and you really just think about trying to figure out something, trying to fix a situation, trying to make a situation better, you'd be surprised at how we have all human beings have this like innate ability for ideas to come or, you know, things to come. When you start putting your focus towards something, like even people you come across or you hear something on TV or you hear something on a podcast or like a ad or something, when you're focused on something, you know, you're able to like hear things differently when it comes to what you're trying to
accomplish. So all your attention goes into finding a solution. It comes to you.
Whenever I get down and out, bro, whenever shit's hitting the fan, whenever I'm in a tight spot, I do that. I basically get into a quiet place, cut off devices, social media distractions, whatever. I focus on how I'm going to fix this situation. What the fuck do I need to do right now? You know what I mean? Like to change this, to get this, make this better. And it works for me every single time.
So March something comes along, right? And you're like, oh shit, I haven't made money for 2 years. Now I get hit with this. It's COVID. I'm going to be perceived as a super spreader here, right? Mm-hmm. But you're like, no, I got to take risks with the business. And you really didn't believe in what they were trying to sell.
I didn't, you know, and I think the people that supported us didn't either. And mm-hmm. It was actually, I'm not going to lie. I'm fortunate to be in Orange County, California, because things were a lot different here than other places.
Oh,
other
yeah.
Places,
yeah.
They were shut down. You couldn't go anywhere. One person in a place at a time. They were pressing those things like hard, you know. Here it was a lot more relaxed and that helped people kind of feel also a little bit more normal and stuff too.
I was locked up during COVID, so it's
okay.
Yeah. I was locked up while on lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only imagine. But yeah, so somehow we were able to reach the kind of people that wanted to feel somewhat normal in the craziest of times. It was, you know, obviously it was very interesting times for a business to run a business and stuff, especially a gym, bro. Like where they were saying gyms are one of the worst places you could be during COVID. It spreads and
it's a super spreader.
No one got sick at our place. Like, you know, no one, you know, it's crazy how like the opposite of what they were saying was happening, you know.
Your business is flourishing. People are getting healthier, you know. And I'm sure, I mean, working out for me is not just physically, it's also, it's like mental therapy, man. It's therapy.
The benefits are way beyond what a number on the scale. People don't realize like the mental aspect, you know, the endorphins, the, you know, feel good hormones, like just clarity. And it does a lot, you know,
that you can only get through working out.
You only can get through working out and you have a lot of the other health benefits, you know, whether it's like metabolism, you know, blood sugar, like blood pressure, all that stuff, cholesterol, everything. It helps you in a lot more ways than just a number on a scale. I know most people, when they think about having to work out, they think about having to lose weight or gain weight or whatever, or build muscle. It's so much more.
Isn't it crazy? When a lot of people think about working out, they associate it with pain. I don't want to work out.
Yeah.
I don't want no pain.
Yeah.
Or I got to stop eating. Or not.
They think of it like, I have to do this.
Like, yeah.
It's like a burden for them. Like, I have to do this to lose weight or I have to. Now you get to do it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get to do it. Like, there's some people they don't have the opportunity. They can't move their body. They're in a wheelchair or whatever. Like, you get to do that. You get to go move your body.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, what about that you do, right? You're a personal trainer, have your own business. What about your job gives you the best like reward?
I get to see people's lives change for the better. You know, I get to see people walk in, head down, posture bad, overweight, dressed like with big clothes and stuff, and I can see them in a matter of weeks start to walk up with their chest out, start to walk up with their head up, start to smile more, get out there, post more selfies.
See, man, I'm imagining as you're saying, someone comes in all hunch and shit, they walking in now. And now they're, you know what I mean? Straight heads up. That's badass.
They're like wearing different clothes, shopping for gym clothes. They didn't really.
Like your specialty is transformation.
That's what I love to do. I love to transform people. I want to see someone walk in, tell me what their goal is, what they're trying to accomplish, and transform. I want to surpass their expectation, you know, show them what they're capable of. Transformation.
That's your specialty, and that's one of the reasons I joined your gym, because you're focused on, okay, you got here, what is it that you want to accomplish, we're going to get you, here's the plan, this is where you got to eat, the whole thing, yeah, right?
Everything.
Without breaking the bank, which is one of the reasons why I joined your gym, right? Yeah. You know, and the show right here, we have two different types of people. Some that wish they can go back and change something. Some that say, hey, you know what, I wouldn't change a single thing because this is exactly what built me who I am today. Which one are you?
I would say the latter, man. Like I feel like everything that I've ever been through served a purpose to make me the man I am today, you know, and I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't, you know, adjust the thing. Obviously, I needed it all to build the character, to build the, you know, the man, the focus, the determination. I needed it all, you know, and I think, you know, if obviously we're all different, we're all going to think different and stuff, but I think if people looked at life that way more, they'd be a lot better off. Like every single thing a person goes through, ups, downs, hardship, no matter what, it's actually molding you and shaping you into the person. Every lesson is a blessing.
Right. See, that's one of the things that I actually enjoy, because when you're unaligned, right, when you have a problem, it's going to set you back.
Yeah.
But when you're aligned, a problem just gets you more aligned. Right. Like, oh, shit, I was unaligned. I didn't even realize I can tweak my life to be better.
Yep.
Right. There's only way better ways of doing life. Right.
Absolutely.
OK, so that's badass that you feel that way. Here's another question with the same spin. Right. Because obviously you wouldn't want to change something. But if you had the chance to go back, knowing what you know now. Right. And applying what you know now to your younger self, who would you become?
Obviously, you would always think you could learn things sooner. You know,
yes.
So you can get to a place, you know, obviously we're all not where we want to be. We're always striving to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is like something that everybody would hope that they could learn some things sooner or had.
Right. Type of so let's just say you would have learned everything that you know now. You can go back to your younger self when you got out and you started your first business, right? Who would you have become at this point?
I still think you end up where your life is destined to be. Just
like everybody has their own journey, and no matter what, it adds up to the same thing.
You'll end up where you should be.
Well, that's badass.
Yep.
That's a great point of view. Right? Because a lot of people are trying to do things differently, but what's meant to you is meant for you, right?
Exactly.
As long as we continue to push in the right direction.
Exactly. I mean, obviously there's things that's going to happen, and you know, if like some things people don't realize, if you get some stuff prematurely and you're not ready for it, you can ruin it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you don't want to rush life. Like people think they want to rush. Oh, I want this now. I want the car now. I want the house now, whatever. What if you're not the person that knows how to take care of those things yet? Or if you're not the person that knows how to
appreciate it
and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
a firm belief of yours.
Oh, because it happens. I see it all the time. I see people, yeah, they may have done some things that they wanted to do, but they weren't ready for that yet. And they ruined it.
Yeah. I mean, I can say that about myself. I mean, I didn't ruin it, you know, because everything's still up here.
Yeah.
Right. But I've been living by myself since I was 11. Right. So I've worked since as long as I remember, I was working and making money. Right. So before I went into prison, I was doing whatever I wanted. I went out every day, night. I will work every day, but I went out every night, did whatever I can. But I had the energy to bounce back. I'll go to sleep at 1, wake up at 4, still go to the gym, do the whole thing. No problem.
Yep.
Right. Then I reached that age, which is why I joined your gym, right? That I couldn't, no matter what I did, I couldn't outwork out a bad diet. No, you know what I mean? Yep. Not anymore. I reached that age. I'm like, shit, I can't, no matter what I do, I gotta start working out. intelligently. That's why I joined your gym, right? But sometimes, you know, there's people that be like, hey, you know what? I know if I would have known what I know now back then, mm-hmm. and I would have been as mature as I am now back then, right now would have probably been in a whole nother situation, right?
Right.
Okay. That's good. What will you tell the younger generation? What will you tell the younger generation if they went through some challenges like you went through them?
I think most importantly is surrounding or what you're feeding in your mind, what you're reading,
wow.
what you're watching, what you're paying attention to. Like if you know your life is on the wrong trajectory, like you're heading in the wrong direction, the most important thing is like, what are you consuming? The mentors you have, like, or lack thereof, what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're consuming on a day-to-day. If you're scrolling on social media, kind of watching the things that are you already involved in every day and that
mm-hmm.
you're
consuming, mm-hmm.
that's going to be all your brain, you know, kind of your capacity and stuff.
Damn, man. I mean, it's badass that you say that, right? Because people don't really understand the extent or how much that hurts them, right? To the extent of how much this shit really hurts them, right? I was talking to someone the other day and I was like, man, listen, we go on our phones, we're out there all damn day, right? So they're already grabbing our attention.
Yep.
And then you get home and what's at home? TV,
devices.
You know what I mean? Now you went from your phone to now you're watching TV and all this shit you're feeding yourself, right? Yeah. It's consuming your energy. Yeah. So you can't, it doesn't even allow you to be present in a conversation nope. because you're over here thinking about, well, what about this and what about that? And now I want to see the show. I want to see the rest of this. And everyone is fighting for your freaking attention, yep. right? That you just lose track of reality, yeah. right? Or what is our reality or our lives, right? So it's badass that you think that way. How did you come to this conclusion?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, somehow I just always thought that, like, I didn't want to waste my time on the wrong things. Like, to me, life is short, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed, you know, and, like, I wouldn't want to be, yesterday I watched 8 hours of TV. That was, you know, like, that's not how I want to live my life, you know? Like,
how many did you watch?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know that I did things that made me feel good. Mm-hmm. I talked to my loved ones. I went to the gym. I worked out. I moved my body. I ate good foods. Like, I want to know that I did things that I can, even if it was my last day, feel like, all right, you know.
I had a badass bad day.
Yeah.
Last day. right?
Pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
Like, not just sitting wasted, unmotivated, consuming the wrong things, not growing, not striving.
Got it. Right now, you've accomplished a lot, right? You got out. You went from going into jail a whole bunch of times. You finally hit rock bottom when you went into prison, because that's, you know, now you're no longer a boy. You're a man now in prison. You know what I mean? You were in the state prison, right?
Yep.
So people are active and all that shit. And you're going through all that stuff. You're obviously seeing everything that's happening in there and that. And you went through the challenges of starting a business. You're starting a business now, right? And moving forward, what's next for you?
Well, you always, one thing I always do is, you know, I evaluate myself every 6 months. I write out goals. I write out where I'm at. Like, I be real honest with myself of where I'm at in life and where I want to go. And I'm always kind of trying to, you know, just make sure that I'm not getting complacent and I'm not just thinking that this is as far as I can go. You know, I always say this, the term, I mean, it's kind of like cheesy, but like, I didn't come this far, I'd only come this far, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. what else can I do?
See, that's good that you analyze yourself every 6 months, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those are not normal things.
Analyze.
See, those are not normal things, man. That's why I keep on asking you. I'm like, don't downplay it. Like,
yeah.
You're not just there. And sometimes when you're connected, shit does come to you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been a witness myself. Sometimes I don't even know how I got there. I'm like, yeah. Shit, right? The other day I found myself coding and I was doing it like nothing. I'm like, shit, why? I don't even know this. I paid attention in school. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it's not easy,
it's,
you know,
not.
To come to the conclusion. Like, how do you come to that conclusion? Like, shit, I got to analyze myself every 6 months.
Again, you know, the books, the listening to the right people and the right mentors and stuff, you know, because mm-hmm. it's easy to get caught up in the day to day and just kind of like not even look at the goals, not even look at what you're trying to accomplish anymore. And you're just kind of going through the motions. But if you consistently are looking at your progress and measuring it, actually seeing how far you've come, seeing
right.
what you want, what right. you want to go and stuff, then you can keep yourself on track.
You know, it's good that you say that. Being spiritual is like, it's trending. Everyone wants to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things for people trying to be spiritual. And to me, it's like, you can't be spiritual when you're already spirit.
Yeah.
Right. If anything, just try to be conscious about what you're doing and spreading your consciousness. Right. Yeah. Be more aware of things. Last question before we wrap this up. Right. You're a man of faith, right? How important has that factor been for you, and how much has that played in your life?
I think it's probably the single most important thing. And the reason why I say that is because it's like, we're all in this life experience, right? And everyone's going to go through things. Everyone's going to have, you know, bad times, ups and downs. And I always wonder, for people who don't have faith, where do they go? Who do they lean on? Where's their hope? Where's their hope? Like, how do they think things are going to end up turning around if they don't have, you know, one thing about obviously faith driven people, mm-hmm. people that believe in God or a higher power, is that's their hope. Their hope is in that. And they know that, you know, one day, you know, things are going to be better. They know that, you know, that they're walking with someone, someone's walking with them. So it keeps you going. Like, you don't give up because of that. So that's why it's so important. Cause like you have to know that the world is bigger than you. It's going to have, you know, it's more things happen to you that you probably don't like. Look at the times that we're living in now. All these things, no one can think 2 years ago that that's going to happen. Mm. You know, it's unpredictable. So what do you have to fall back on when those times come, or when you need hope, or when you need to know that it's just, you know, a storm and things are going to,
and it's the main ingredient for you then.
That's why faith is important to me.
Absolutely, man. That was beautiful, man. That was beautiful to hear. What's inspiring that you've gone through this and your mindset is strong, your beliefs are strong, and your message is really just keep your circle tight, make sure that you focus on that, and obviously strive to be the best person that you can all the time.
Absolutely. Know what you want. You know, you have to really, really write down what you want every 3-6 months and
have a clear vision.
Obviously, faith, and mm-hmm. you know, just don't stop until you get it. You know?
That's right, man. That's right. For anyone that wants to, all of our listeners that want to find you and want to work out with you, where can they find you?
The gym is called Development Fitness Gym. We're in Orange, you know, not far from here, obviously. My Instagram is a development coach. I like to work with any and everybody. Like, my mission is to help as many people as possible. So, you know, fat loss, muscle building, you know, fitness competition, sports and athletics.
You know what, man? I've never done a competition. I want to do one.
We're gonna get you to do one.
Yeah, I want to do that. That would be exciting, man.
That would be really exciting. We get you on stage, you know.
Like, you guys heard it here first. I'm gonna freaking do one. Watch.
Transform you. We'll get you there.
Great, great. Well, there you guys have it. This is The Story with Floyd. If you guys want to find us, you guys can find us at No Quitters Podcast on all handles, No Quitters on Instagram. And it was amazing listening to your story. Hopefully you guys are inspired. Thank you guys so much. See you guys next time. Yeah.